traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Horsemen of all breeds from all around the world, this is Scott Miller coming to you live from Sunshine Meadows Equestrian Village in Delray Beach, Florida. We got a fantastic facility here that allows me to touch base with all the different breeds. We've got standardbred show horses, quarter horses, thoroughbred race horses, you name it, we have it here at Sunshine Meadows. And if you ever want to come out to visit us, you're more than welcome. You can come out to 16668 Winter Circle, Delray Beach, Florida, 33446. Come out and visit, and I'll give you a tour of the farms, and you can see some of the best horses in the world. At our Palm Beach Downs facility, Todd Pletcher stables his horses here from September until April and does his training here in the winter. We've had Derby winners out of there, Monarco, Super Saver, Always Dreaming, had Life is Good, was there, world champion. It's just amazing what we have had here. Then over here at Sunshine Meadows, we've got a tremendous amount of unbelievable standardbreds. We have Casey Coleman, which is the leader in the standardbred industry year in and year out with her horses. She's just unbelievable, one of the best trainers that I've ever seen. A good person, runs a good show over there. Then we have Terry Chill Farms, Jane Fennessy's here. We have John Beebe here. We've got Victoria Jackson here. Just unbelievable some of the people that we have here that are showing horses and training horses. We have an on-site vet. We've got two. We have on-site blacksmiths here at our facility. And it's just amazing the things that we have here. We have paddocks, over 115 paddocks for turnouts for the horses. It's just a great facility. We have three great show rings. Have a dressage ring and then three show rings. We have a turf Grand Prix ring, which is really good. Speaking of turf, we got a great turf facility at Palm Beach Downs and dirt. It's really good over there. Todd Pletcher seems to like it. That's where he spends most of his year with us here at Palm Beach Downs. And then we have Delray Equestrian facility here in Delray. That's our third facility that we have. That place over there is just phenomenal. It used to be the old Wenink Farm, where they had thoroughbreds and a training track, and it was nice. And then they kind of downsized, and it went over to a show horse facility. And we have Heather Mills. She runs that. She's a fantastic equestrian, a top-ranked AQHA horse person, always doing something, internationally on, the competitions that she goes to. Her husband, Brandon Mills, he runs all three of the facilities and top-notch horseman in his own right from the AQHA. He's been there, done it. There's everything. You can't do something without him knowing about it. He's really good. He's a horseman. He's a great person. Just unbelievable what he does there, and he takes care of all three facilities. So if you go to our website, we've got a new website. It's called IENTV.net, IENTV.net, Domestic and International Equestrian Events of All Breeds. If you come in and tune in for an exciting shows and programs, experience the equine industry with IENTV.net. Stay up to date on IENTV's latest equine news, horse shows, racing, domestic, and international events, live and taped. And there's a little icon you can click on there. It says Explore Our Programs, and that will feature the program of the week that we're having here. And then you'll see me, my old ugly old face there. We've been bringing quality television, radio, podcast programming to our viewers for over 10 years. Our station has grown and evolved over the years, but Our commitment to providing informative and entertaining content has remained constant. And the reason we can remain constant and do what we do is because we've teamed up with BBS Radio TV for podcasting, TV. They have it all. And that's one of the things that what I like about BBS is they're kind of like what we do here at International Equine Network, or I should say their new name, IENTV.net. They cover a little bit of everything. And you can go to their station and look, and if you want to hear jazz, you can hear it, country music, you can hear it, all kinds of podcasts, different varieties on there from religion to, you know, to horses to everything, you name it. And that's what we try to do here at IENTV.net is try to cover the whole industry and give you access to it. And I've always been about distribution. If you in the horse business, it's about distribution, how to get your product out there. And we're probably, I would say, the best distribution outlet in the country. We're getting better and better and better at what we do. We're fine-tuning everything, and it's taken me a long time to do that. But I'll give you a good example. We have a show called At the Wire. It's all you need to know. It's all you need to know about the thoroughbred business. You know who, what, when, and where. We've got an icon on there. We have Equibase. Equibase is a company that tells you who's running where. It gives you race results. It gives you all the things that you need to know about the thoroughbred industry. If you want to know who's racing at Del Mar, you click on Equibase, and you click on Del Mar, and it gives you the full card at Del Mar. Same with any track in the country. And this expedites a lot of your time. You can come in here one or two clicks, and you're right to the racetrack that you need to go to or want to go to. Then we have the Blood Horse Magazine. The Blood Horse Magazine is a fantastic magazine. It gives you weekly, daily highlights of what's going on, who's doing what, where they've been, who's been caught cheating, who's been caught, winning races, who's been caught giving money to all sorts of thoroughbred organizations. And it's the most in-depth magazine that I've seen in the horse industry so far. It's unbelievable the things they do. They keep you up to date on the Derby, the Breeders' Cup, what's going on daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. It's just unbelievable, you know, what they have. So if you go to At the Wire, that'll get you right to where you need to go. Then we have Flying Turns. Know where they are, know where they're running at. It's Harness Link Magazine. A good friend of mine, Steve Wolf, is an American manager for Flying Turns, and they're international. But what I like about Flying Turns, they have all kinds of interviews, videos, you name it, Flying Turns has it. Steve is really good at it. He's a member of the Harness Racing Hall of Fame. He's very good at what he does. He travels all over the world watching horses and seeing horses and interviewing people. And if you want to know what's going on, all you got to do is go to harnesslink.com, and they'll tell you any and everything about the standard bred industry, and they've got a beautiful website. I mean, if you can't find out what you need to know there, then you don't need to know nothing. That's for sure. And then we go over to Quest for Equine Gold. What I like, I really do like this segment here. It's called Quest for Equine Gold. It's from the backyard to the Olympics. And what I like about Quest for Equine Gold, it shows all the disciplines in the show horse industry. You can go there and click on USEF, United States Equestrian Federation, or you can go to WWFEI, which covers all the international programs. And it's really good because every week it's always something different, you know, with them. They do interviews of the riders, the trainers, the owners. They let you know what the big shows are, where they're at, how to get to them. It's unbelievable. They did a good job on the Olympics this year. They really did. It was a good job. But what we do is we try to connect you to all the things in the horse industry that'll get you to where you need to go. And that's what we do with that. Then I tell you, this is a good one, too. A lot of people like it. And I guarantee you, most people don't know much about polo. But we got a show called Chukar. And it's time for a match. And you need to click on uspolo.org, and they will tell you where the matches are at, who's playing who, when, where, and what. And they got a real good website there. What I like about it is you can go to it, and they'll tell you, explain to you what a chukar is. They explain to you the equipment, the riders, the horses, where they come from, how they get there. They've got all that on there. It's just unbelievable. And then the Hall of Fame down here in South Florida, I tell you, it's really good. If you're ever in South Florida, go over to Lantana, you'll be able to see the Hall of Fame. It's real small, but it's real informative. And you spend an hour or so in there, and you'll really find out about polo and what it is and what a chukar is and, you know, how difficult it is to, you know, get into polo. Not because of the money, but it's because of you need a lot of skills as a rider, and it takes many years for that rider to develop skills to get into playing polo. It's like soccer on hoof prints, on hooves, is what I always say. It's unbelievable. They're what they do. Then we have last call. We got the California Fall Yearling Sale coming up. Summer's just over, and now we've got the fall yearling sale starting September 24th is the sale date. And if you go to Last Call, you can click on Fazek Tipton, and it'll take you to the catalog, and it'll tell you how many horses are there. It'll tell you all about the sale, and it'll tell you everything. And we'll have that featured on IENTV.net. It'll be a live sale that we'll cover. On that. So on the 24th, come back to us here and go to Last Call, and you'll be able to see it right here live. And if you've got any questions, you can be sure and call us here at our studio. And it's we're doing really good here now. We got a new phone number. It's 561-306-5318. That's our new number here. And we'll have an office number here on Monday. Another number that you can call us at, or you can go to IENTV.net and see our whole website and what we're doing. We have another program. It's called Zero to Ten. To find out all you need to know about the United States Dressage Federation. You can just click on it, and it'll tell you any and everything that you need to know about it. And what we're trying to do with all these links that we're putting on here is to educate you. Not inundate you with a lot of work to get to the things that you need to know, but make it easy for you. And if you go to Chukar or to Last Call or, you know, to At the Wire, Flying Turns, Quest for Equine Gold, it'll take you right to that particular events or sports. And it'll tell you where they're playing at, where they're racing at. It'll give you all kinds of things that you need to know. And it's really nice because, you know, that one click can get you into all kinds of videos, interviews, information that you need to know. And on 0 to 10, it'll tell you all about the dressage. And dressage is an amazing sport. It's not a sport like chukar or fine turns or at the wire or quest for equine gold. Dressage is an acquired, it has to be taught to the horses. It's not a natural gait or rhythm for a horse to do dressage. They literally dance to the music. And it takes a rider that knows how to get a horse to do the moves that they need to do. And it'll explain to you exactly what dressage is and what 0 to 10. And the reason I named that is because that's how you score dressage shows, 0 to 10. If you get a 10, then you're good. If you get a 0, then you're bad. But you're still out there trying and having a good time. So that's 0 to 10 about the United States Dressage Federation. It's really good. And then this is one everybody likes. Everybody likes this one. It's called Quarter Time. Quarter Time is about the AQHA, the American Quarter Horse Association. And it's probably one of the most all-round associations of any of the equestrian associations that are out there. AQHA, it's the cowboys, it's the rodeos, it's the barrel racing, it's quarter horse racing. And a lot of quarter horse trainers have come out of, the AQHA. Bob Baffert is one of them. Another one is Dwayne Lucas, that just had his 89th birthday and won a race up at Saratoga. He started out in AQHA. So it builds a good foundation, and you have to be one heck of a horseman to be a member of that AQHA. Because you don't just do one thing, you do a lot of things. And what I like about their website is they give you all the information you need to know, and they've got a lot of good videos and a lot of good interviews, and they tell you what's coming up, and they have what they call the Quarter Horse Congress in Ohio every year. And that's unbelievable. It's like a 30-day show, and they get thousands of people that go to it. It's just kind of amazing to see that. And then we have a section here that if you want to put your equine business or your information on our website, you just call in to me or come to IENTV.org, and you can see where we're at on there. Or you can call in to me tell me what you want. It's 561-306-5318. Or you can email me at ienequine@gmail.com. See what we have there for you. But it's all free. We'll keep it up for a week, and we'll talk about your business and see how that goes. But it's free. And like I said, it's about distribution, and it's free. And the thing that I like about, being here on BBS, if you go to it and you kind of take a look at what they have there, on their website, it just blows your mind. I was sitting here the other day just thinking about different things. They're broadcast live streams, and like we're doing right now, they're going directly to stations in over 48 countries at BBS. Over 48 countries. We're talking places like Angola, Argentina, Australia, Austria, Bangladesh, Brazil, Bulgaria, Canada, Colombia, Finland, France, Germany, Greece, Iceland, the Philippines, Poland, Romania, Russia, South Africa, Sweden, Switzerland, the Arab Emirates. And when you're broadcasting things like that, you have the potential of really getting your business noticed out there. I'm not saying that everybody's from those countries are going to tune in, but it's the opportunity. It's the distribution of your product. And that's what it's all about. And that's what we do here at IEM. We try to get as much information available in one spot that a horseman can come to and get it done. Now, I'll give you an example. The Blood Horse magazine, one of the best thoroughbred magazines in the world. It's got everything that you can want, but that's it. If you come there, you're usually a thoroughbred guy, and that's why you go there, AQHA. If you go to quarter time and you go straight to AQHA, it's mostly, quarter horse people, American quarter horse people. But here at IEN, we give you the opportunity to take a look at all the different breeds from all around the world on one website. And so you can get on that page and you can travel the world, in a few clicks. And that's what we do here. This is my favorite of all time. I'm trying to figure out all the favorites that I had here. And I'm trying to figure it out. And then I realized what it was. Horse people are horse people, whether you're thoroughbred, standardbred, show horse people, whatever. Horse people are horse people. We have a segment on here called Farm of the Week. And what I do is I go to a lot of the farms that I've been to all over the world, and we'll put their website up on it. And you can click on their website, and you go take a virtual tour of that farm and find out who they are, where they're at, and what they're doing. And what I like about Farm of the Week is most of the farms that you'll be able to see on our website are farms that you can take a tour. You can go to that farm, whether it's in Lexington, California, Australia, Ireland, England. You go to their website, and they generally have horse farm tours. And I tell you what, it's a good, you spend a good day at those farms and you see who they are and where they've been and what they're doing. It just blows your mind. You know, you get up close and personal with the horses and the people that are there. That's the farm of the week. And it's really, you know, something to look at. Tomorrow I will be putting a new farm of the week up there. It'll be One Star Farm out of Lexington, Kentucky. I used to work at One Star, and the tours that we had there were fantastic. And you can go there and you can see all the big stakes winners that they have. You know, you can see their derby horses. You can see the whole nine yards. And they're really good there. They're very informative. So that'll be up tomorrow. It's called Farm of the Week, and it'll be One Star Farm in Lexington, Kentucky. Then we have Equestrian of the Week. And this week it's Dwayne Lucas. He just turned 89 years old, won a race up at Saratoga last week on his birthday. He's been there. He's done that. He's won multiple derbies, Preaknesses, and Belmonts, and Breeders' Cups, and just a fantastic horseman. He kind of sets the standard in the thoroughbred industry for, you know, what to do and how to do it. But the most fantastic thing about Wayne is, and I worked for him for quite a while, is he's a better person than he is an equestrian. And he's in a Hall of Famer. And like I said, he's won the Derby, Preakness, Belmont, Breeders' Cup, but he's even a better person. And, you know, he's somebody that you really like to get to know and work around and be with. You know, it's just, you just don't see people like him anymore. And that's our equestrian of the week this week, Dwayne Lucas. Now we get to, this is really the important thing. It's business of the week. And I think these guys are going to be my business of the week for quite a long time. It's called Farm Vet, and farmvet.com. And they cater to all breeds. They have any and everything that you can need for your horse business. And what I like about Farm Vet, if you've got a problem or you need a product that's hard to get, you go to their website or you call them, and they will have somebody there at Farm Vet that will be able to help you and get you in the right direction. And like I said, they have everything. And it doesn't matter if you're in California, wherever you're at, you know, Kentucky, New York, Florida. You go to farmvet.com, and they can drop ship that product to you, and you have it in a day or two. And I don't care what product you have, how much you get, they will have it there for you. They're the best people in the world to work with. And they've got a lot of satellite facilities, too, like at the World Equestrian Center. Are at World Equestrian Center, Tryon, here at Wellington. They've got a store. They've got a physical store here in one, Shelbyville, Tennessee. It's really a good company to work with. And if they don't have it, then you don't need it. That's for sure. And if they don't have it, they'll get it to you somehow, or one way, shape, or form. Now, this is the thing that I really do like. It's kind of unique and different. You don't see it very much. The only time you usually see it is during the, it's called Triple Crown Traditions. And we start out at the Kentucky Derby, and they've got a lot of traditions at the Kentucky Derby, and it gets bigger and bigger every year, year in and year out. And what this is all about is it's about food and the drink at the Kentucky Derby. And, you know, I'm telling you, you would be surprised how many recipes they have for Kentucky Burgoo, for Derby Pie, how many recipes they have for the mint julep, you know, that type of thing. And it's a tradition. And what I like about it is there's no set tradition for the Kentucky Derby. Every person has their own individual traditions. I know I was fortunate enough to be at 18 Kentucky Derbies with horses. And what I like about the Triple Crown traditions, and especially the Derby, is every trainer, every owner, every groom, every hot walker, every non-horse person around the Derby have their own traditions at Churchill. They've got their own type of food. You know, they do the whole thing their own way. And that's what I like about it. There's no wrong way. There's no right way. It's your way. And that's the main thing that you do there. And so now, having said that, we have the Triple Crown tradition moves to Pimlico, which is our second leg of the Triple Crown tradition. They have crab cakes. You name it, they have it. They got their own drinks. They got their own set up. It's really, really kind of unique what they do at Pimlico and how they do it. Similar to Churchill, but they have their own identity. The crab cakes are unbelievable. The black-eyed Susan drink is fantastic. It rivals the mint julep at Churchill. And, I mean, it's just really, really good there at Pimlico. It's a huge, huge party like it is at Churchill. And then, of course, the third leg of the Triple Crown is the Belmont Stakes. And the Belmont Stakes is just kind of unique and different. I've never seen such a variety of different traditions that are so far apart. They're not like Churchill, where they got the traditional burgoo, you know, and barbecue at Churchill. They got the traditional seafood, you know, crab cakes and Maryland crab cakes at Pimlico. But the Triple Crown, the last leg of the Triple Crown is really unique. It's all completely different. It can be anywhere from steak and lobster, you know, down to Italian sausages, you know, that type of thing. And so if you go to there and you'll see what we have for that is really good. And then also we're kind of tagging along on Triple Crown traditions. What we will have is a cooking contest. We'll have a cooking contest for the Derby, and it's going to be kind of interesting. What I did is I decided to take a trainer, an owner, and a jockey, and we're going to find out what their Triple Crown tradition is, what their Derby tradition is. And it's going to be really unique because they're going to fix that meal, and it's going to be a cooking contest. And whoever wins that cooking contest will move on to the finale at the Breeders' Cup out at Del Mar Racetrack. And that's going to be the crowning moment, is to have the winner of the Triple Crown traditions at Del Mar. Then we go to Pimlico. We do the same thing at Pimlico. Trainer, jockey, owner. We'll see what they do, see what they come up with. Then that winter, I'll join the Churchill Downs winter. And then we go to Belmont, and we'll do the same thing at Belmont with an owner, trainer, and jockey. And the winner of that will join the other two. And then we will have a cook-off for the Triple Crown champion at the Breeders' Cup. And our race and the race, our cooking dates now, this is the way they'll be. It'll be April 1st. It's a week before, or April 30th. It's a few days before the Derby. Then I believe it's a Wednesday. That'll be April the 30th on the Kentucky Derby Triple Crown cook-off. The Preakness will be May 14th, which is a few days before the Preakness. The Breeders' the Belmont will be June 4th, a few days before the Belmont, and then the actual championship will be at the Breeders' Cup in Del Mar on October the 29th, and those dates are all in 2025. We're still getting the programming together, and we're going to have a celebrity chef that'll be there, and we're still getting all the details worked out on it. You know, that type of thing. And so we're kind of excited about that. Something new, something different. And again, it goes back to traditions that we have in the horse business. The traditions that we have are all different, unique. They're for the individual. So that's what I like. And it's not only about the thoroughbreds. They have the same thing for the standard bred industry, the show horse industry, the quarter horse industry, that type of thing. Like the big, Roundup and the big farm barbecues for AQHA. Those are the ones that really get to be, just unbelievable. The things that they do at AQHA, for their traditions. And so, that's what we're trying to talk about. And every year is a new year. Traditions are supposed to happen year in and year out. But that's not necessarily what happens. A lot of times, I've known people in the Derby that have a nice farm, and their farm has never done the same Derby tradition 10 years in a row. They've always done something different. They have a different theme. For example, they might have one about jockeys, trainers, owners, transportation. That's the things that they do. I've seen them have 18-wheelers on their farm that people could walk through and see what it's like, for a horse to be on a travel trailer, going down the road, along with their barbecue and all the things that they do. Especially when you get like through Louisiana, and Texas, you got the barbecue in Texas, you got the Cajun food in Louisiana, and that's their tradition. So that's what we like to do, is get behind the scenes and find out what traditions people have, who they are, where they're at, what discipline they're in. So we do that. And that's going to be really exciting programming that we're going to do. I'm really taking my time with it, trying to get it all set up and get it right, because it's going to be something that I think will be good for television. It'll be a 4-week program series that we'll do, and hopefully we can create a tradition and do it every year. That's what we're trying to do, and see what happens. And then this is the exciting part of the year for me. I just love this part of the year. A week from this Saturday, the 2025 Kentucky Derby prep races start. I'm doing a documentary called How They Get There, the 2025 Kentucky Derby. Saturday, a week from Saturday, they're in the gate, and who will earn the first points and to qualify for the Kentucky Derby in 2025? The Iroquois Stakes, 9/14/2024 at Churchill Downs. Click on the Churchill Downs link, and it'll tell you all about it on our website. There's a series of points. There will be 26 or 27 races this year that you have to compete in to earn points. Now, you don't have to compete in all of them. You need 3-4 maybe at the outside five. But they're all spaced apart at different tracks, like Fairgrounds in New Orleans, Churchill Downs, Belmont Park. There's all kinds of them that every track has. You're talking about Gulfstream Park, Tampa Bay, Sunland Park. You're talking about a lot of tracks to go to the Fairgrounds in New Orleans. And what the trainers and the owners have to decide is where they're going to run at to earn the points. Usually it costs, you got to have about 20 points to get qualified for the Derby, because there's only 20 stalls available for the Derby, and you want to be one of those. You don't want to have to be pushing it down to the last moment, so you have to set your training schedule up, to do that. And what I like about it is people have really decided on doing what they need to do to get their horses, to where they need to go. If I give you a good example, there's generally two, three, four maybe races at each track that will qualify you for points for the Derby. And what they do is they'll, for example, they'll have a race going at a mile and an eighth, or a mile and a sixteenth, and that'll earn you points. And then somewhere down the road during that meet at that track, there'll be a second race, and it might be a mile and an eighth that they run that qualifier for. And then there'll be the third race, which, like in Florida, it would be the Florida Derby. In New Orleans, it would be the Louisiana Derby. Hot Springs would be the Arkansas Derby, you know, that type of thing. So it kind of keeps those horses right there at that track. And it makes it nice because it gives the track the opportunity to advertise and you know, highlight those featured races that they have 3 or 4 days out of the year to, you know, have their product be seen worldwide. That's what they do. And what I like about it is sometimes you might have a guy that's in, like, say, in Florida. The horses that are here in Florida are really tough, and you go through your series of races, you know, at the at Gulfstream Park and at Tampa, and say, wow, boy, you know, I got to run against these guys 2 or 3 times, and, you know, it's going to be tough. You know, I'm going to burn my horse up before I even get to the Derby. So what they do is they look to go to other places like New Orleans, Hot Springs, New York, California, you know, that type of thing. And so, but what they're doing is they're trying to get the horsemen to stay at each track, and it gives the clients and the customers something to shoot for, you know, to look forward to and plan, you know, watch those horses as they compete against each other. So, you know, that's what I like. And we'll follow every Saturday. We'll follow and have on IENTV.net, we'll have the Derby Prep Race of the Week. Like I said, 9/14/2024, it's the Iroquois Stakes live from Churchill Downs. And that's going to be really, really a good one. But on how they get there, which this is a part of, the prep races, how they get there is we follow an owner. We're going to follow an owner and see what he does and when does he make the decision to get a horse to run in the Kentucky Derby. It's quite a long process. It's a lot of thinking, and there's a lot of owners that have walked the farm, as they say, trying to make a decision, you know, whether to buy a horse at the sales, to breed a horse, you know, for the Kentucky Derby. There's just so many things, you know, to do with it. Maybe do a partnership with a guy that's got a horse or a farm that's got a horse that's already running, you know, and has proved himself a little bit. So, you know, that's what we're, you know, looking to do with that. And then when that owner makes the decision, the second thing he has to decide is who's going to train the horse. And that's a tough decision to make because you got a lot of guys out there like D-Wayne Lucas that's been around, been there, done that, won multiple Kentucky Derbies. Or you got a guy like Brad Cox, a great younger trainer. He's on his way to the top. He's winning a lot of big stake races. He's doing all the right things. You know, he's just looking for that owner that has the right horse for him. We've got people like that, you know, that are out there. We got, you know, guys that have been around for, like Billy Mott. Billy Mott hadn't run that many horses in the Derby, but he's one of the best trainers that there are. Then we got Bob Baffert. You know, Bob Baffert is getting horses, you know, from everywhere and winning, you know, race after race and big race after big race. So we're going to follow one of the trainers to the Kentucky Derby, and we're going to see how he goes through from September until next May, what he does and how he trains and where he goes. That's a big decision that he has to make, and he's got to get with the owner and get a game plan. You know, and if the owner likes it, you know, and they think that they can do it, you know, then they're on their way. You know, they're on the journey to the Kentucky Derby, as we say. And then the owner and the trainer have to sit down and decide who the jockey's going to be. That's very important. You know, there's a lot of jockeys that are good at a mile and a quarter, And there's a lot of good at a mile and 7 furlongs. And you know that have won the derbies and ones that are up and coming, you know, to see. And the jockey is a big thing that you have to do, you know, decide on. And you got to make sure that the jockey gets along good with your horse. And so that involves the jockey coming out to the track and working the horse in the mornings. And, you know, you talk to the jock and say, well, you know, what do you think? Can he get a route of ground, go a mile and a quarter? Is he a solid horse? Does he feel good underneath you? You know, there's a lot of dialogue that goes on between the owner, the trainer, and the jockey. And then once you make that decision on the jockey, you know, then you go back again, and it's like rehashing everything. You got to talk about races, where they can win at, you know, how many races do you think it's going to take to get the points, to get to the Derby. You know, there's a lot of things involved in it. There's a horse running now, Fierceness, and this horse is just, he's just unbelievable. His speed ratings have been the top of the charts, faster than any horse in the country so far this year. But the problem they have with him, he's got to get a lot of time in between races, you know, to run. He's like the horses were when I came in the business. It's old. He's an old school horse. And what happens is with old school trainers and horses, he ran good thoroughbred would only run 4 or 5 times a year, you know, and nowadays you got some of them that run 8, 9, 10, 12 times a year. But Fierceness, you know, he needs that long layoff. And when he gets that long layoff, he comes back and, you know, he just is sitting on top of the world and nobody can catch him. Nobody can beat him. And so that's what the owner, the jockey, and the trainer have to decide. So now that they've done that, you got to make sure that your groom gets along good with the horse, that he's attentive, that he does all the things that the horse likes, that the horse likes him and the groom likes the horse. So that's another big decision. That's the one that the trainer makes. They do that. And then you got a hot walker that's going to walk the horse. You got to make sure that hot walker knows what he or she's doing and, you know, make sure they get along with each other. And then if they notice something when the horse is walking, they tell the barn foreman, and then the barn foreman tells the trainer, and then the trainer tells the owner. You know, so there's a lot of things that go into, you know, getting a horse to the Kentucky Derby, and we're going to show you all those things that happen. Then there's the feed. You got to make sure you've got good feed for your horse and a reliable feed company. And the best feed company that I've ever seen is called Hallway Feeds out of Lexington, Kentucky. They got a staff there that just second to none, family owned, family operated. And what I like about Hallway Feed, you can call them up and say, hey, I got an old colt that doesn't eat very much after he works or after he races. What should we do? And Hallway Feed has the people there that they can tell you, this is what you should do with it. You know, incorporate, you know, this feed a little bit, and with the feed he's on now, you don't want to go cold turkey and just switch feeds. So you incorporate a little bit of the new feed every day with it, and take a little bit out of the old feed, and then the horse gets used to it, and then you can find out if that does the problem. But Hallway Feed, they can do that for brood mares, weanlings, yearlings, you know, you name it, any horse. It doesn't matter what breed, they can help you with the feed on it. And what I like about Hallway Feed, they deliver anywhere. There's not a place in this country you can't go. If they got a horse in that country, Hallway Feed can feed it. That's for sure. So, you know, that's what I like about that. And then this probably... I mean, you start talking about which is the most important thing to do. The blacksmith. You got to keep good shoes, good healthy feet on your horse. That's crucial. You have to do that, because if the horse can't get around the track, if he can't walk around the barn, if he can't walk out in the paddock, then you got problems. You got big time problems. And there's a guy named Steve Norman, the best in the business. This guy's done so many Derby horses. He does horses all over the world. Very educated guy. Very, very good. Good with people. Good with the horses. You know, and when Steve tells you this is what you need to do, then do it. Because I know I witnessed this with a trainer and an owner. And I'm not going to say who it was. But I witnessed this, and I just about died laughing. Thought I was going to lose my job. I was laughing so hard. The trainer came out and was telling Steve what the horse, how the horse should be shod, how they should shoot him. And Steve just looked up at him, kind of shook his head, and he said, no, he said, this is the problem. And so the trainer kind of went back and forth with him a little bit. So finally, the owner came out, and he asked the trainer in front of a group of people, called him by name, Mr. Trainer, how many horses have you shod in your life? And the trainer said, well, you know, I've watched a lot, but never shod one. And so then that's when the trainer realized that Steve Norman does his job, or the blacksmith does his job, and then you just let it go at that. You know, no questioning on it. So that was pretty cool. But the blacksmith is a crucial part of it, because you got to keep them feet healthy and keep their legs healthy and, you know, keep them going. So, you know, we covered just about everything, you know, here on what the trainer and the owner and, you know, the jockeys do. Now, the other thing that this normally is handled by the trainer, it's transportation. Do you fly the horse to New Orleans from Kentucky, or do you ride the horse from Kentucky to New Orleans? And most people, you know, haul them on the 18-wheelers, and then get them up and down the road. And it takes a long time, you know, 10 hours, you know, sometimes to get them up and down the road. But, you know, you got to take that into consideration. How does your horse travel? Does he travel well? Does he recover well? You know, just what's the deal? Do you ship him in 10 days before the Derby, or do you ship them in 3 days before the Derby? You know, those are the things that you have to make, but you got to do that after the ship. And it's good to know the people that you're shipping with. Cause I worked at Brookledge Horse Vans for maybe 8 months, 10 months. And it was really an interesting situation. There, Brad Gottwald's the owner of it. Make sure that every guy that gets in that cab and gets behind that wheel, they're horsemen. They're just not truck drivers, they're horsemen. And they can tell if a horse is starting to colic or tie up, if he's stressing out too much during the ride. That driver tells you how much water the horse drank. It tells you the whole nine yards. So that's another phase, you know, that trainers and owners have to worry about is the transportation. And do we fly? Do we fly the horses, you know, from California in? Do we ship them by van? You know, those are big decisions that you have to make. And then you have to make a decision, when do you go in? You know, 3 days before the race? Or do you go in 10 days or a month before, you know, the Derby? Those are things that, you know, that the owner and the trainer have to, you know, sit down and work out. And that all goes for, you know, the show horses, standardbreds, and it goes for all horses. You know, these are things that you have to do and you have to figure out. You just can't decide that at the last minute, this is what we're going to do. And I guarantee you, all these thoroughbred trainers out there now, they either have a computer program or they got an old notebook that they've got on there, what races are coming up and when they're coming up, so that they can make sure they're getting entered for those races so they can get enough points for the Kentucky Derby. And, you know, that's the tough part right there in itself. But, you know, all in all, when it gets down to it, when they get into that gate at Churchill Downs, let me tell you, they don't know where they're born at. They don't know who their daddy and who the mama is or who the trainer is. Them horses, the only thing they know when they get in that gate is how to run. And if they know how to run, then they're going to get to the wire first. You know, so that's the only thing you can guarantee when you get in that gate. You know, nothing else matters. Where they've been, what they've done, nothing else matters. And that's for sure. You know, same thing with the show horses and the polo ponies. You know, they go through the same thing. Trainers, you know, that type of thing. They're trying to get used to. So that's going to be interesting and different. It's called How They Get There, the 2025 Kentucky Derby. And that'll be coming up here a week from this Saturday with the Iroquois Stakes from Churchill Downs in Louisville, Kentucky. And then we've got on our Quest for Equine Gold show, well, I tell you what, the Olympics and the national championships were just over, and they're back at it again, going head-to-head at Wellington and Tryon and the World Equestrian Center and Lexington and Thermal, California, Parker, Colorado. You know, they're going at it hot and heavy all summer long. So you can get on the internet or come to IENTV.net and you can see, where the horse parks are at and places that you might be able to go to that's in your neighborhood. And you'd be surprised how many equestrian facilities are, close to you. And they're a very valuable part of our economy. When the horse people come in to, like, say, Churchill Downs for racing or for the Derby, you're looking at hundreds and hundreds of dollars that these horse people are spending at the Burger Kings and McDonald's and the Pizza Huts and the Walmarts and the gas stations and, getting kicked at the farm and getting kicked at the track and going to the hospital. And, it's just amazing, what they do and how they do it. So that's what we're trying to tell everybody. Be kind to the horse people because they're a big part of your community. You can know that. And if you want to get to know them, just call up the track or the show facility in your area and, let them know, what you want to see. And they'll be glad to tell you. They'll be glad to help you with it. But that's called How They Get There, the 2025 Kentucky Derby. It's that time of year. Every Saturday now we'll have a highlighted race, maybe two or three of the points that they earn for the Derby. So that's what we're looking at. And then we got the Quarter Horse Congress coming up here this fall in Ohio. We'll have more information about that. That's a sight to behold. It's 30 days long, and they get well over a million people there in the 30 days. And they got all kinds of shops and everything set up there. You can go and see what it looks like to get a horse shod, to do the medications to them that they need. It's really good and informative when you go there. And they got all kinds of things that a farmer or a horse person would possibly need. It's really good. So, take a look at that. And then we'll see what else have we got here. We've already talked about the 48 countries that BBS goes to. And I want all you people to call in and talk to Don or Doug and find out, what all they can do for you in distribution wise. Not saying that everybody don't buy from you, but I tell you what, I'd rather be going to 48 different countries like BBS does and take a shot at getting something sold or getting something from somebody than I would from just here in a little bitty old Palm Beach County. That's for sure. The more people that see you, the more chance you get to sell them or get with them. And then, I know what it's going to tell you. Each one of our programs will be 30 minutes coming up here, hopefully in October. We have a weekly program scheduled. Monday is Quest for Equine Gold, which is show horses. 0 to 10, which is dressage. Then we have polo, which is chucker. And we have quarter time, which is the AQHA. We have the last call. With last call, they do have a lot of live sales, and we will broadcast those sales live. You just got to come to our website and go to last call, and you'll see them on there. But last call will be kind of 30-minute program on Wednesday, and we'll talk about what horses are selling and who's selling them, when and where, you know, the sales are. And, you know, you can go to the sales. You don't have to go and buy. You can go to the sales and walk up to it. Public's welcome. You get you a catalog there, and then you can follow and see, you know, what horses are being bought. A lot of times you'll see at the sales Todd Pletcher, Bob Baffert, Dwayne Lucas, me at the sales. You know, and it's really kind of nice, you know, to see the whole operation and how it does and the amount of money to go from it. And I know one family that used to go in and they would write down who would buy, who's going to buy the ice cream after they pick a horse. So the family would write down, oh, I think, you know, hip number 20 is going to go for 10,000. And somebody would say, oh, well, I think hip number 85 is going for 100,000. And everyone in the family would pick a horse and put a number on it. And then whoever was closest to their number had to pay for the ice cream after the sale. So, you know, there's things like that you can do when you go. Then we have International Equine Report, which is what we're doing now. That'll be on Wednesday afternoons. We have At the Wire, which is Thursday, Flying Turns, which is Thursday, getting ready for the weekend. And then Friday we'll have Business of the Week, Equestrian of the Week. We'll have a weekly review and Farm of the Week, and that'll pretty much cover for what we're going to do. Well, I got a lot of big plans. I don't know if there's enough of me to go around, but one good thing about it, the BBS radio, I've got the opportunity to get my story out there, and that's what we're doing. So next week, 2 o'clock, Friday afternoon, come and see us on the radio, and go to IENTV.net to get all your connection information. See you next Tuesday on International Equine Report.